So here's what we're going to bridge into today. The things that matter most always cost something, right? You don't just get into it. If it matters to you, you have to give up something to make it, and that makes you having to have a cost of some type or another. The things that matter most always cost something, right? Freedom costs something. That's what these soldiers, these Marines, all these people gave their lives for, so we could have freedom in our country. And your calling, whatever God has placed on your life, will cost something too. So here you go. The things that matter the most always cost something, and your calling, whatever God gives you, will cost something also. And that's true with just about everything in life. You're not going to get it handed to you, right? Right now, we could get into arguments about different times people were brought up different ways and different things. It's a different society now, right? Those of us old folks, and I've talked to Craig about some different things. We've been talking about music, right? We do a lot of music. When I started feeling really bad in the last year or so, he told me I needed to get up and I needed to start writing things down and start. And I got into the music part of it and started writing songs and doing some stuff like that. And it keeps my mind focused on something other than the pain that I'm going through, right, at any given time. And it was just such a great thing to help me build, to get me to think about the things that I needed to really think about during those times. What is my calling? What am I meant still left to do in the time I still have left, right? When I was 20, I had a mindset and we did things a certain way. Now that I'm 60, right? 60. Did I say that again? 60? I know, I'm only 60 years old. We were brought up differently than the kids are being brought up now, right? When we came up, we had TV. That was our big deal, right? TV, look out. My kids were brought up just at the early beginnings of the internet, right? But they didn't have a ton of it, but, you know, we had dial-up, right? So they didn't get into it as much. But my grandkids and all of their friends are into the internet and gaming and all that stuff. Different mindsets for different times. If we do not adapt to something, we will not catch up, right? They will leave us behind, and we'll be that old fuddy-duddy sitting in a chair saying, we did it this way in my day, right? It was the same thing. So when Craig was telling me to adjust, to find something, to do something instead of just sitting in a chair and do nothing and whine and cry about it, he helped so much just for that time period. He's not even here to hear me say that, but last year was a big time for me, and he helped a lot for me to be able to write down a lot of things, all right? So what I'm trying to say is we need to adjust to get to that time frame. What can we do for them to make them heroes, right? How can we make them walk in the word of Christ every single day that they walk? Here's a simple truth. The things that matter most always cost something. And the Memorial Day weekend, we are honoring those heroes who paid the ultimate price for our freedom. Now, not just that they died, but what they were willing to give. The sacrifice reminds us that real freedom is never free. It's never free. And in the same way, the calling God has on your life is going to cost something too. That's why in our Hero Maker series, we're diving into, and today's the sermon's called The First Cost of the Calling. Let's open up basically your Bibles. Maybe you got something on your phone that you've been following with the notes there. We say hi to all the people out there on the internet, all two of you that might be watching at the moment, all right? I know a lot of you will get back in the evening and watch a service if you weren't able to get in there. So if you're doing that, good evening to you. Hope you had a good day, all right, for those. All right, so let's set this whole thing up. The purpose has a price is where we're going with this, right, to start with. So purpose has a price. Let's be honest just for a second, right? Everybody wants some kind of purpose. And their purpose might not be the same as your purpose. Our purpose, my purpose, is to get my kids and my grandkids and maybe even my great-grandkids to follow Christ in one way or another. But that may not be what your purpose is, right? And I know I lose that purpose and that focus a lot of times. I can get away from it. Now, maybe it's outside things that are distracting me. Maybe it's pain, anything else. But I get away from that, and I want to stop that, right? So everybody wants a purpose. We post about it, right? That's one thing. We podcast about it. We pray for it. But few of us expect the cost of it. We never take that. We think we're just going to hop on the internet. We're going to become stars. Or I'm just going to be out there and start selling hot dogs on the corner and I'm going to make $1 million. Or I'm going to go out and I'm going to go to the mission field and everything's going to be perfect. That's what I'm going to do when I get out there. But there's a cost to all of it. We want the impact without the interruption, right? So I want to be able to do it, but don't stop everything else I'm doing, all right? Oh, you know what I mean? I kind of see this in kids, too. I can remember kids love to play baseball or football, whatever it is. They don't want to practice, though, right? That's how you lose them as they get older. They don't want to practice, right? My kids were great at that. Craig would show up for every baseball game, but he didn't want to go out and throw, right? Or Angie, same thing with soccer with her, right? That was kind of my kids. And I see that in a lot of kids these days, right? There's a cost to everything that you want to do in your life. And that's just one of the ways that you don't, it interrupts what you want to do. So right now I'm trying to press the grandsons. Let's go play some golf. Let's play some baseball. Go outside, anything. Sure, Papa. You know, they do this. Sure, Papa. And then they never do it, right? They can't get away from their games at the time. So that's the struggles. If you got to find a way so that you can interrupt them, right, so that they can understand that there's something in it for them. We want the well done without this is going to hurt. That's what we want. We want it, right? Just teed up on a tee for us. Give it to me and I'm done, right? I hate to say that. That's exactly how most of us are in one way or the other. That's our purpose, right? We want the platform without the pushback. We want the well done without the this is going to hurt. Kind of like wanting a six-pack abs, right? Yeah, I got those. I don't know where they are. They're hidden, but I got them. So kind of like wanting a six-pack abs, but skipping the gym and just ordering more pizza, right? That's not going to get you what you want, is it? Turns out real calling always comes with a price tag of some type or another. Now, Nehemiah, and that's who we've been kind of studying here, is about to show us that the moment you say yes to God's calling, the bill comes due. And the first cost is usually immediate. A lot of times it happens right away. Hey, we need you to do something here. And immediately there's a conflict. Something happens, right? And that's what's going to happen to Nehemiah. But you got to have the backstory, right? So the first cost, this is where it is. We're going to start going next to the first cost. You got to have the backstory, though. Nehemiah is what has happened so far to him is what we've seen in the last couple weeks with Pastor Billy's been talking. Nehemiah was the king's cupbearer in Persia. One day his brother Hanani brought bad news, right? The people in Jerusalem were having problems. They were in trouble. The walls were being broken down. The gates were burned. There was all kinds of things going on at that time frame. And Nehemiah was heartbroken. He cried, he fasted, he prayed, confessing the sins of his people and asking God for help. And luckily for him, because of his position and where he was at and where God had him, Nehemiah, 4 months later, the king had noticed that he just kind of sad. He was down, right? It wasn't looking good. We've all seen that in somebody or another, and we try to pick somebody up, right? But in this case, the king asks, why are you so sad? Well, of course, Nehemiah tells him what he's doing. This is after he prays for a moment. He prays silently, then he replies, the city of my ancestors lies in ruins. Please let me go rebuild it, okay? So the last couple of weeks, Pastor Billy's been talking about that, getting that goal. What is that goal? How are we going to do it, right? That pretty much brings us kind of where we are now. So what happens, right? Well, the king gives him everything. He said yes, right? So the king said yes. Then what happens after that? What's next, right? What are you going to do from that point on? And in Nehemiah 2, it says this. This is 9 and 10. So I went to the governors of Trans-Euphrates. I think it's a little bit different up there. When I came to the governors of the province west of the Euphrates River, I delivered the king's letters to them. The king, I should add, had sent along army officers and horsemen to protect me. But when Sanballat and Horonite and Tobiah, the Ammonite official, heard of it, they were greatly disturbed that someone had come to promote the welfare of the Israelites. All right, let's get this straight. Nehemiah just left probably the safest job he could have had, right? He just left that. He was most comfortable. It was probably the best job other than the king in the Persian Empire, right? And where's the Persian Empire? It's where Iran is now, right? That's where the Persian Empire was. So when he was heading west, he would be heading through Iraq and Syria and heading towards Jerusalem, all right? So that's where we are. But the second he decides to step out in obedience, right, he's got all this influence. The first time he tries to step out and he starts heading towards Jerusalem with what the king has given him, all right, God, and he starts riding towards Jerusalem to rebuild it, something happens immediately. Boom, some kind of opposition happens, and it's the kings that are there to try to stop him. The two powerful men, Sanballat and Tobiah, are greatly disturbed. They are, I wrote ticked off, and then I wrote, and a bunch of other words I can't say today, right, in there. They were mad, right? They were mad that he was coming to fix things and to change things. So you kind of get the drift how this is. They got immediate, someone's there trying to stop him, all right? Opposition is often the first confirmation that your calling matters. If you get that opposition right away, all right? If there's no resistance, there may be no significance. And I like to put it that way. If there is no resistance, there may be no significance to what you're doing and what you're trying to do, right? And we've run into this. I ran into this when we were in Belize. I can remember this. We started our ministry in Belize. We went down there. We had this whole entire plan of what we were going to do. And literally, almost the first day we got there, we had to make changes because the travel from the boat to get out to the property and back and forth was too long. And with gas at $6 a gallon, that was going to run us out. You know, it was like 12 or 14 miles. So we had to change to a different marina. We had to actually then get a motor for the boat. All this stuff happened in the first couple days we got there, right? So a new motor for a boat that I bought from somebody, you know, not marketplace, but close to it in Belize. That's what it was. We had to change where we were going. And I know right away, I was like, well, we're going to get through this. I'm excited. But Susie's like, oh, I can't believe this is all happening already, right? So we had to kind of change our mindsets because we had opposition immediately, right? Something was happening there at that point. Now, opposition is often the first confirmation that your calling matters. If there's no resistance, there may be no significance. Remember that one. Kind of like when you finally decide to eat healthy, but your fridge is still full of the leftover pizza from when you were thinking about the six-pack, right? Right? So there you go. You got the food. You're there. You order from the pizza. You still got it there, but you're not getting it. You're not getting what you need to do. If there's no resistance, there may be no significance. Let's weave back to our service members here. Think about the men and women we honor today. The moment they stepped forward and said, send me, they knew resistance was coming, right? Enemy fire, fear, fatigue, family back home, wondering if they'd make it. They stepped away, right? So I can remember going into boot camp. I can remember signing all the papers months before, and then when the day finally came, I was kind of excited, a little shocked all at the same time. I'd never left Indiana pretty much. Went down to Indianapolis, got on a plane with a bunch of guys. They put me in control of like 10 of them. I'm like 18 years old. I'm the youngest guy in the group. I had just turned 18. And we get out to San Diego, and I got all these folders for all these guys. And I'm walking around, and we find the recruiter or the station, the Marine Corps station in San Diego at the airport there. And I walk up, and I slap it down on the table, and I said, hey, I got these guys. And this dude starts lighting into me right there in the airport. Get that attention, blah, 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 blah. He starts yelling, screaming at me. I knew I had opposition immediately right then and there, right? It wasn't bad enough that I didn't know what was going on up to that point. As soon as I thought I knew what was going on, I'm getting yelled at for whatever it was. Yeah, the Marine Corps was tough, quick, and fast. They didn't hold back. They were yelling at people right there in the airport. They had no problems with that. And I don't either, because it did. It shocked me. It told me right away I needed to get ready for what was coming, right? So so here's the thing. After I push the button and get rid of everything, right? Don't be shocked by it, right? All right, here we go. All right. Your calling will face the same thing. Something will be there against you. The moment you decide to rebuild your marriage, maybe start that ministry, confront that addiction that you're struggling with, or speak truth in your workplace, that's a big one, right? Someone or something will be greatly disturbed, and don't be shocked by it. Don't be shocked by the opposition. It's not a detour. It's confirmation you're going the right way. And that's what I had to think of when we were in Belize. Are we going the right way? All this stuff is happening to us already? How can that be? Well, that was confirmation we were going in the right direction. Confirmation that your calling matters and that you are on the right track is what you're going to be doing if you find opposition right away. And a lot of people stop from that opposition. That's what the devil wants, right? You're starting a ministry, and if the first week you get out there and you go, oh, this is going to be too much, and you just turn home and go home, and we could have done that, then what would have happened? Devil wins, right? Not God. So you got to keep moving, keep going through this. They did it again. I know you guys are like, what is he doing? I keep pushing the buttons on here. I got to stop doing that. Sorry, guys. All right, so let's go to the sacrifice, the core of calling. The core of calling, right? We're going to go to John 15, 13 on this real quick here. Jesus doesn't let us leave us guessing about what this cost. He says it plainly. He says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends, right? Yeah, he said it. He's doing it. He's talking about it. And then we know in the end, he did it himself, right? So sacrifice is not a suggestion. That's the definition of love. You will sacrifice for your kids. You will sacrifice for your friends. You will sacrifice for your parents. You will sacrifice for anybody else. These people in the military sacrificed for us to have freedom in our country, right? So that's the definition of love. Sacrifice is not just a suggestion. It's the definition of love. Kind of like when you finally clean the fridge out of that stale pizza, right? You didn't finish because you wanted a six-pack and you wanted to eat healthy, but finally you even get rid of the pizza guy's number out of your phone, right? And you said, I'm going to do this now. And that's what you finally start to do. For the kid who's scrolling on the phone in the back right now may not be paying attention, but to us and those who know, today we honor the sailors, the soldiers, airmen and Marines who lived this verse out loud. They laid down their lives, not for strangers, but for people they would never meet, like you and me, right? Some of this happened 80 years ago. Some of it happened 150 years ago. Some of it's still happening today. That's the core of calling. Love is proven by what you're willing to give up. What you're willing to give up. If your calling costs you nothing, it's probably changing nothing, right? So if we didn't have the hassle at the beginning, everything went smooth as a bell and everything was perfect, I think we might have given up quicker. Might have, you never know. It's hard to say what's going on, right? But I kind of felt like there was a point in here where we were first in Belize, and it's Susie and I, and I think Craig had come down, and we stopped at this one mission that was out near Belmopan, and we started talking to this lady about us. We're building our missionary program out of the beach and this, that, and the other. And she had been doing it for like 15 years. And she had such a bad attitude. She was like, don't do it. Get away from it. It's awful. My husband's doing this. We're doing this. We're doing that. And I'm thinking to myself, she's lost her love for it, right? She's let it get to her of what it was. She had to run the race of perseverance, right? And the reason I named our missionary program Endurance Belize was this exact scripture we're going to get ready to cover here right now. Okay, in Hebrews 12:1, it says this. And the writer of Hebrews paints this picture, and you just kind of get it in your head what you're thinking about here. Kind of think about what he's saying here. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and that sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Perseverance. In some Bibles, you'll see the word endurance instead of perseverance. That's where I got the endurance from, Endurance Belize, because we knew it was going to be a long race, and we had to run the long race. And just like everyone else, and I could see why this lady was giving us this warning about 15 years, and she had been doing it for 15 years, and she didn't feel like it was worth it anymore. Her husband's working in town trying to do this, and they're trying to keep things going. And I looked at their facility, and they had like 10 acres, and they had buildings for people to come to. They were working on air conditioning. They had all this stuff that they had done for God, and she had lost focus on all of it and had gotten away from her. And I, it it bumped me out for a little bit, but it also told me I need to keep moving forward, right? Keep moving, keep running the race. Notice what it doesn't say, though, up there, a perseverance, right? It doesn't say run with speed. It doesn't say you got to be the fastest in any way, shape, or form. It doesn't say run with applause, right? I started thinking about this, running with applause. How many of us have seen videos of that runner running at the end of the race, and she's going like this, or he's going like this, like I won the race, and at the last second, somebody zips by him? Is that not funny? That's not perseverance, isn't it? That is not running the race fully to the end. And I kind of felt like that's what this woman was going through in her 14, 15 years that she had been there. And since then, it's now another 12. I'm sure she's still there. I think they are, because I have them on Facebook somewhere. But so what did I say? I'm not sure if I even said this one already. Kind of like when you cleared out the fridge of the stale pizza because you wanted six-pack abs and to eat healthy, and you did that for 12 months, and then you finally got rid of the guy's phone number, right? But it might take a padlock and booby traps. Oh, I see. It might take a padlock and booby traps to keep it going for me, to keep the fridge closed. That's what you're going to have to do, right? Because I'm an eater. I am running a long race, but it's packing on pounds. That's not good. I got to worry about that. All right. So, yes, courage isn't the moment you start. Courage is the 1,000 ordinary days when you keep going, even when the cost becomes real. The soldiers we remember today didn't just have a heroic 5 minutes. They had months and years of endurance. They stayed when it got hard, and that's what the calling proves in the staying. And I heard this many, many times when I was in the Marine Corps about guys. Guys, I can't stand why we're doing this. Why are we shooting every year on the range? Why do we have to go through the gas chamber? Why do we have to do these things? Well, you got to run the whole road of perseverance and endurance, and you're ready for anything that happens at that point, right? Some of those same guys would be willing to give up their lives for you right now today. And it's just one of those things that happens. Soldiers, remember today, didn't just have that heroic 5 minutes, of course. They had it for months and their endurance and all that. We talked about who we have in the audience for that and what they would do. The couple people that raised their hands and myself would have done the exact same thing if we were in the position. We would have gave ourselves up for you guys. And that hits home. That hits home for me, right? And so when Jesus said that to us and then he did it for us, I start to cry, right? I start to think about what he did for us. And he was ready to run the race for us, and he did the ultimate for us. But where do we go from honor to responsibility? Where do we change all this up? We remember their sacrifice, but remembering isn't enough. The best way to honor sacrifice is to live with courage yourself, all right? We have a responsibility to the next generation. We got to do something for them. As a hero maker, we honor those who sacrificed and teach the next generation that doing what is right will cost something because it is always worth it. It is always worth it for God and in his name. If they don't understand the cost, they won't value the calling, the kids, our next generation. If they don't understand it, they're not going to value it. And here's the heart of it. Most people fall in love with the idea of a calling, right? I know I did this. I love the purpose. We were going to Belize. We're going to help people. I love the impact that we were going to have. I love that God's plan for my life was there. There was excitement in it. But they treat it like a free upgrade or a lottery ticket, like I've won something because I'm doing this. When the price tag shows up, the rejection, the long hours, the financial hits, the criticism, loneliness, the perseverance, like this lady was going through after 15 years, right? She was going through all of those. They're shocked, and they often just bail out. But I got to give her credit. They're still there doing it. The truth is simple but powerful. Value is born in sacrifice, all right? And here's more to it then. I remember when we started, I was talking about the ministry in Belize, and I got ahead to it, trying to think. You treat your calling like a cheap fling instead of a sacred marriage. That's where I was getting to with her on that. If you don't count the cost ahead of time, you won't treasure what you actually have. And they had put such a nice program together and had done so much to get people into Belize to help other people. And we were wanting to do the same thing, but she was telling us, don't do it, don't do it. You're going to hate yourselves. You're going to do all this. Luckily, we didn't listen and we kept moving forward, all right? So Jesus understood it. He laid down his life. When people grasp that the calling will cost them something real, they stop treating it casually, right? They fight for it. They protect it. They stay faithful when it gets hard. And it's going to get hard if you're trying to do something. If you're trying to go out there in a ministry. If you're trying to talk to people at your work. If you're trying to get ahead of that addiction. If you're trying to do all these different things that we talk about up here that you come in every Sunday to listen to. It's going to be tough on you. But if you don't count the cost ahead of time, you won't treasure what you have. Now, Nehemiah understood the cost. He left comfort and walked straight into opposition, didn't he? He walked straight into the kings who told him, you're not going to come here, and I don't want you here, and all that. But that didn't stop him. The rest of the story comes next week, right? But the soldiers we honored this weekend understand it. They signed up knowing they might not come home. Jesus understood he laid down his life. When people grasp that calling, something real is in their life. It actually deepens their commitment. It turns, I kind of want this, into, this is worth my life. This is worth my life. So here's the question I want to sit with you right now. This is a personal response to you. Where is God calling you that you've been avoiding because of the cost? Can I see a show of hands? You know there's something you've got that you just can't get around to it because it costs too much to do it. And I'm not, sometimes it's monetary. A lot of times it's time, right? Time, time, time. We don't have enough time to get everything done, right? All right? Those are some of the big factors. Maybe it's forgiving someone who doesn't need forgiving, you thought in your mind, but maybe they don't deserve it in your mind, but you need to do it anyway, right? Maybe it's stepping into leadership, even though you feel unqualified. I felt unqualified. Pastor Billy kept telling me, you got to be a pastor, you got to be a pastor. I said, I'm just an old weatherman. That's all I am. I don't know anything special. Yeah, you got to do it. You got to do it. Do the studies, do this, do that. And next thing you know, he was right. He was right. I need to be a pastor. We're doing that with somebody else in the crowd. We have several right now who are trying to become pastors. Pastor Karen, close? Yes? No? She's shaking her head. I don't know the final on that. I haven't talked to her in a week or two. So she's working on becoming a pastor. And I'm sure when she first heard Pastor Billy or Pastor Mandy say it, that you said, no, I don't want to do that. Right? Right? There's always some questions there. Maybe it's having that hard conversation with your kid or your spouse that you need to get onto. It's going to cost you something, right? Well, let me hear you this. That hard conversation with your kid, you need to have it right now. Because if you don't, somebody else will. And that somebody else who gives that conversation to your kid might be taking them in the wrong direction, right? So this is your time to be the hero there. You're a hero maker as you're making them, but you got to be able to step up and talk to them, okay? And that goes to most of you who are getting into the teenage years, if you got teenagers, right? So the younger kids, you kind of got a grasp on, but as they get older, they want to get away from you. Maybe it's finally saying yes to the thing you've been saying maybe later to for years. Maybe that's another thing you got to get going on. If that's you, I want to give you a simple physical response. I'm going to pray a very short prayer here, but be honest with yourself about this. You don't have to do it for anyone else, just between you and the Lord. Follow my words with your bowed head and your eyes closed, praying. It's very short. Think about it for yourself, where you need to make your changes. Okay. God, give me courage to say yes, even when it costs. Give me the same perseverance that Nehemiah needed. I may not understand why but help me run the race marked out for me. Amen. See how simple that was? Wasn't too hard at all, was it? Not at all. That might have just been the start you needed, but didn't expect today. Maybe that little prayer right there gets you moving. But as we always do, and you see the band coming up, which is telling me get off the stage because I'm talking too much. No, I'm not, am I? All right. Here's the good news that makes all of this possible. Jesus did not avoid the cost. He embraced it. He looked at the cross. He saw the opposition. He counted the sacrifice. And he still said, not my will, but yours be done. Yours be done. He didn't even hesitate. Didn't even hesitate. The cross shows us that sacrifice doesn't lead to death. It leads to life. It leads to life. His death paid for your forgiveness. His resurrection gives you the power to keep going. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, today's your day. You already came to a good place for it. He already paid the ultimate price, so you don't have to face eternity alone, all right? So let's just talk for a moment. Everything we've talked about today comes down to one truth. The things that matter most always cost us something, one way or the other. Our soldiers proved it. Nehemiah proved it. Jesus proved it more than anyone. He looked at you and me knowing exactly what it would cost him, and he still laid down his life. Still laid down his life. So here's a question. Will you accept that love that cost him everything? Are you ready to do that? If you've never given your life to Jesus, today's the day. Don't just admire the cost. Now's a chance to respond to it. Maybe you're ready to take your next step on this journey with God. You've been sitting there for a while. Maybe you're ready to proclaim the name of Jesus. If so, to make everyone feel more comfortable, we usually do this as a mass of the church. You've been here for a while, you know this. When we do our salvation calls, we have the whole church say the saying. That way the person who's doing it for the first time can feel comfortable, right? They feel good. Plus, we reaffirm into you what you're talking about and your love for Jesus Christ. And we do it almost every single week. Almost every single week we do it. And we do it for that exact reason. To reaffirm into you and to have somebody start anew. Okay? So if you are that first timer, we're not going to make you raise your hand, come up to the front of the church like some places do. Just follow the words after me right here. Repeat after me, everyone. Jesus, I'm here. I admit that I'm a sinner. And I've lived for myself. But today, I see your great love. I believe you died for my sins and rose again. No matter the cost, I'm yours. Come into my life and make me new. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's give a big hand for anybody who did that for the first time. All right, and for those of us who just reaffirmed it again. All right, in closing, the band's getting excited. See, I told you to get out by the top of the hour. Not bad. Calling always costs, but quitting costs more, right? It costs you more in the end. The price may be high, but the purpose is higher. The purpose is higher. What you sacrifice today shapes the legacy you leave tomorrow. It's going to shape what you leave tomorrow. And remember, there's sacrifice. Nehemiah did it. Our soldiers have done it. Jesus did it. And now we live with some of the courage they've passed on to us. All right, Billy wrote this part. Go, Cubs, go. But more importantly, go with God.